Praise the Lord. Good evening, everyone, and welcome. Praise God. I trust you've had a blessed week. It might have been a good week, might have been an easy week, might have been a difficult week, hard week, but you've never had a bad one. Praise the Lord. Not in the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. His hand upon us, perfecting us in His image. Praise God. We're going to continue looking in Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 17 to 24, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 24, praise God. We're looking at our new life in Christ, our new life in Christ, praise God. And the Lord is working with us to take the striving out of this walk. We all make mistakes, praise God. We all miss it in areas, we get it wrong. Sometimes we're wrong for the right reasons, that is, we love the Lord, maybe zeal or whatever it is, things we haven't learned, and we step out and make a mess. But, you know, praise God, it's better to be wrong in that sense than to be right for the wrong reasons. That is to say, we've got all the right ideas, all the right theology, but we never really go beyond that. So we think we're right, but it's sort of right for the wrong reasons. But the Lord's bringing a balance, bringing a great balance in the body of Christ. He's getting our theology to be a living, active truth. It's not just truth in an intellectual, academic sense, but Jesus said, when you know the truth will set you free. And He's setting us free, praise God. He's truly setting us free. He's causing us to know that truth, to live, to walk it, to experience it. Our doctrine is becoming life, praise God. Praise the Lord, that's what He's been doing for some years now, hasn't He? Some decades, in fact. But, you know, he's still working it. So we're going to continue to look tonight, God willing, at our newness of life, our new life in Christ. And none of this, I'm not going to say any of this is revelation or new, but I trust, praise God, that as we open our hearts to His Word, we'll continue to experience deliverance. Praise God, the removal of our hearts of those stones, those thorns and things that are preventing the Word from bearing fruit. Because at the end of the day, that's what God is looking for. That's the great mystery of the kingdom, is fruitfulness. And people often miss that, you know, works or whatever. But as we continue just to present our hearts before God, that Word will find its place. And it's the Word that will produce that fruit. The Holy Spirit will produce that fruit in our lives. We will live fruitful lives simply by receiving the Word. And that's part of what I want to look at tonight. To take the striving out of being an overcomer. There is a sense in which we strive, that warfare, but not striving in the flesh. Praise God, it's yielding, it's resting in the Holy Spirit. But let's have a look at this, and you'll see what I mean. Chapter 4, verses 17 to 24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. And we looked at all of that last time, so we won't repeat that. It's all been recorded. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Praise God. And we began to look, if you remember, in Romans 6, which explains all about our newness, the newness of life, the new life in Christ. And so we're going to continue there. Praise God, Romans 6. But as you turn there, I just want to say this one thing, because Paul is giving here a contrast between if you look in verse 24, the new man created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And then in verse 22, the old man growing corrupt according to the deceitful lust. If we look in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 2 again, chapter 2, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in verse 2, which you once walked according to the course of this world. So we were once doing that. And what was the problem? The course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And this is what I want to lock into, dear friends, that it's the nature. Verse 3, we were by nature, in verse 2, sons of disobedience, children of wrath. Verses 2 and 3, but God in his mercy took us out of that and placed us in Christ. And this understanding of nature and of the fact of where our faith comes from, to understand that is the whole key to this walk. Like I said at the beginning, this is what will take the striving out of this walk. We are what we are by what God has put within us. We're new creations in Christ. We've been born again. We're filled with his spirit. And we're now, yes, we're in an irreconcilable warfare between flesh and spirit, and the world, the spirit of this age, the world and its ways, and that unseen, he's invisible because he's spirit, but he's seen only too clearly by what he does, the enemy, Satan. We're in a warfare, but dear friends, let the nature, let the new nature, the new birth, have its way in our lives. Get out of the way and let who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us, let him be your voice. Let him be your understanding. Let him reveal and express his life in and through us. Now, while there is a warfare, there is also a rest. We can only do what God has put in our hearts that day. And it's the choices you and I make that reveal what we are or what we're dealing with that day. It isn't difficult, it isn't complicated. We learn our theology, we go through our trials. And there is an assault on the mind that likes to analyze and make it more difficult than it is. The cross and our righteousness, our faith, or sin and unrighteousness lies simply in the choices we make each day. Those ethical, moral choices. If we make a mistake, if we get things wrong, if we make the wrong choice because we haven't spent that time waiting on God, then the Lord is doing something far deeper than simply what would appear on the surface. He's showing you and I that yes, we have a new nature in Christ. We have that new nature. We are born again. We're not under condemnation. We have passed from death into life. But he's making this new nature, he's making that our character. By Jesus, praise the Lord, that's so in my heart, by Jesus' stripes I feel. Praise God, that's true as well. Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them. And it's very easy to let that point, everything God says at that point, the devil comes right in and see, you've got no fruit and you're revealing what you are. Right, forget all that. Concentrate what Jesus said, the enemy's voice out of the way. Jesus said, by the fruits you shall know them. And because our hearts are right, what he's saying in our lives is, I will make you fruitful. You give your heart to me, because you've got to take the rest of the revelation together, that fruit speaks of the life that is within. Now, if the life of Christ dwells within us, eventually our lives will bear that fruit. And what he's doing, he's making the nature our character. We're going to bear that fruit, but we have to learn that that fruit is born not in doing and trying and striving, but in dying. In just simply that relationship, we are what we are before Almighty God. Now, there is a serious responsibility, yeah. There is a serious responsibility in that. But dear friends, as we look at, as we now turn to Romans 6, we're going to see how God has made every provision for us to bear that fruit. Because he, you know, it begins with faith, and we're going to see this, that that fruit begins simply by believing what God says about us. So we've looked, we're going to tie these scriptures together, what we've just, the two passages we've read in Ephesians, but I want us to remember as we look at this newness of life, that the life, the new birth, the nature is already within us. There is a sense, legally, we've settled it, we are Christians, there is a sense in our experience that we're being saved. But don't let the process, don't let what we go through as a process throw you off the fact that it is an accomplished fact. We are resting in what Jesus did at Calvary. And the Holy Spirit is applying what Jesus purchased. God willed it, Jesus purchased it, and the Holy Spirit is applying it. Praise God. And that application, the work of the Spirit to apply what Jesus purchased according to the will of God, he's also given us that mustard seed of faith, that pure faith. Praise God, he said mustard seed, isn't it? Because if he wanted a pound of faith out of us, praise God. But we only need a mustard seed. And he's given us that. It's, we just read it. That is a gift of faith, but that gift has to mature, it has to grow, it has to be strengthened. And our godly character, our character in Christ, what God is primarily getting to in all that we experience, our trials, our tests, our temptation, yes, there's an exposure, but ultimately it's positive, it's redemptive. What he's doing, dear friends, he's making that godly nature a godly character. And he's producing that through faith. He's getting to our faith. As he rids our heart of unbelief, praise God, you're going to find that fruit, that holiness, and we're going to look specifically at obedience. All the things that we may think are impossible, don't let the devil rob. They're not impossible. They are not impossible. It's not possible by flesh, but we know that, don't we? It's possible because God now dwells within us. Not only that, is it possible with God who exists and who rules and reigns, but he also lives within us, friends. Greater is he, we looked at that last time, greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. And that's our victory already given. The scriptures don't say you have to become greater than he that is in the world. You have to be strong. We are strong in the faith. That's not what we're saying. But it's because of who dwells within that we have this victory. It's Christ within, the hope of glory. Dear friends, so I'm hoping that as we open our hearts this evening, as we continue to hear this and let the word do its work, that the striving is taken out of our walk, and that we can rest in that warfare. God said to Joshua, every step that you take, what did he say? I will? No, I have given to you. But every place you put your foot upon this land, I have already given it to you. It's exactly the same principle that, you know, as we seek God, whatever you bind will have already been bound. Whatever you bound on earth will have already, the Greek says, been bound in heaven. We are just working out what God has already put within. It's not something we're trying to create. It's merely working out a living, active faith, working and walking out what God has already put within. Now, we need to be careful, obviously. Well, that's easy, isn't it? We just sit back in our armchairs and that's the end of the matter. No. While faith is a rest, it is a type of armchair faith, there's no room for complacency, because the very nature of faith has a Holy Spirit violence about it. There is a violence attached to this faith that will take the kingdom by force. That doesn't mean work up ourselves in some kind of religious way, but it means, as we're going to look at later, as we continue to give our hearts to God, just give our all, that pearl of great price, to possess the kingdom. It means whatever it costs, I'm going to pay that cost. Jesus used the analogy of, didn't he, of removing the eye or cutting off the arm if it causes offence. Obviously, that's not what we're doing literally. He meant what he said. He said what he meant. But the point is, as we're going to look in Romans chapter 6, matter is not inherently evil. Sin does not reside in your eye. Sin does not reside in your hand. You won't stop sinning just because you do that. Sin resides in the heart. The flesh is merely what expresses that which is in the heart. And so the violence is towards the heart. The Holy Spirit gets hold of the heart, reveals the cross, and he will not give up until the cross has done its work in our affections, in our heart, in our will. Something has to motivate the will. Something has to motivate the choices we make. So right behind what it is that motivates those choices, God is working at those seams. You know, we know that faith works by love, but do we know that it's faith that works by that love? God's love will motivate the faith. In other words, if it isn't faith, it isn't love. Unbelief works by whatever it works by, but it isn't love. Fear or pride or hatred or whatever it is, a refusal to trust, to believe God. So God is now delivering, he's removing those things. The reason we choose not to believe, the reason we make those wrong choices, God is exposing, and he's forming that godly character. He's getting to our faith. And it may be a case of deliverance. You know, the Lord will show whether maybe just some fasting will do it, or just the work of the cross, or just as we stay with it, as we endure, God is working there. Praise God. Let's have a look at this. There's a great encouragement to this thing called obedience. I dare say that if God said, I want you to be legalistic, nobody would be legalistic. It's just the way it is. So we're not talking about legalism. We're talking about what God has said over our lives that will come to pass because he's put it within. He's not just said it and sat back and watched what's going to happen. Yes, he's decreed it. He said it. But remember, dear friends, he lives within. Let his life express itself in and through. That's the fruit when it's his life that takes over. So let's have a look. We got, I'll back up a little bit from where we went where we got up to last time. So Romans chapter 6, and we'll start with verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, and that is the whole crux of the matter. This is where it, who are we presenting ourselves slaves to obey? You are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness. See, it's an ongoing process, whichever we choose. But God be thanked. Now here's a remarkable statement. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, we read that in Ephesians 2, what we were before, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered to you. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, that's iniquity and rebellion, leading to more lawlessness, iniquity, rebellion, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. The point about grace, if we have truly experienced grace, is that grace has got a hold of us. And he's put by his grace, that it means unmerited favour to start with, but as a result of that unmerited favour, he's put within us a divine enabling to do his will, to make the right choices, to want what he wants, to love what he loves, to hate what he hates. And there is a process now going on in our lives, that grace enabling us to do his will. We still have that choice, but the grace is so working that as we present our lives, present ourselves slaves to obey him, we are a slave to his righteousness. We're no longer those slaves to sin, but we're a slave to his will. We're a slave to his righteousness. And it's an ongoing process. It may at times feel, and it's what it appears, and the devil is right there. It may at times feel that we're making one step forward and two backwards, but God is doing something with our minds. As we look at, we're going to look at this later, being renewed in the spirit of the mind. Do not look at the circumstances, what we're going through. Faith will grow from the word of God. Faith grows because Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And what he's doing, what he's allowing, that is so contrary to what we've been looking at, he's humbling, he's removing, he's breaking, he's taking away those things that are getting in his way. He is taking away that resistance in our hearts. He's taking away the rebellion of the flesh, putting it to the cross. He's taking away the thoughts, the affections that lead to temptation. He's working within us as we yield to him, as we continue to present our hearts to him, which is all we can do at the end of the day, because none of this is achieved by the power of our own will. As much as we have that will, it's not willpower that does it. It's faith. It's grace. And as we choose to believe, as we choose this day, Lord, I consecrate my life to you this day. Whatever happens after that is in God's hands. And as we continue to trust, it's Him we're trusting to save, isn't it? To save us. We're not trying to save ourselves. Praise God. As we continue to trust and to look to Him, He's the one. He is the one, praise God, who's supplying that grace. He is finishing. He is finishing what He has offered. He's finishing, He's completing what the work that He's begun in us. And it's His power. We often think, yes, I've got responsibilities, I've got a will, I need to make the free choice. And we wrestle with that at times. But don't forget, He that lives within you, God, it's His will, He's willing, it's His power that is willing, that is working within you, both to work, both to do, and to will, you know, work for His good pleasure. To will and to do for His good pleasure. It's His work. Now, friends, if God be for us, who can be against us? We're not on our own in this. And so that grace, that power working, as we present ourselves slaves to obey Him, Paul uses an example. He often introduced himself as the bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. An apostle, but a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. He could do nothing else than obey Him. But was he perfect? Was he an angel? Or was he a man? Just a man. Just a human being in a body of flesh, with all that that means. And yet he knew in his heart he was a bondslave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we go through things that we cannot explain. If it was a real court case, it is a real court case, but an actual, a physical one, and the devil stood at one side, and had stood there and pointed and accused, you call yourself a Christian, but look what you just said, look what you just did. How can you call yourself a believer? How can you call yourself in Christ? Would you be able to answer him? Would you come against, would you have the wherewithal in your heart from the word to come against? It's worth thinking about, isn't it? But even though at the present time you may not have the wherewithal to answer, Jesus is. At this very moment, the Lord Jesus Christ, a man, God man, but nevertheless fully human, and God in flesh, is at this very moment representing your case, your cause before Almighty God, on the basis of your faith in His blood, but His blood, the very faith that He's given you to believe, and the word which now comes out of your mouth. It does matter, but praise God, if we fall, if we sin, if we can acknowledge that, God is faithful and just to not only forgive, but the blood of His Son cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. And it's that love, it's that grace, it's that mercy and forgiveness that is bringing us through. And so we see that as we continue to sow to that obedience, it leads to more righteousness. Now here's the point in verse 17 of Romans 6. Paul says, God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, though you were by nature children of wrath, though there was the prince of the power of the air working through you, and you were by nature the sons of wrath, because we have believed and obeyed the gospel, we have obeyed from the heart that form of teaching to which was delivered to us. We've been set free from sin. We became slaves of righteousness. Now, this is an ongoing process. It's a legal fact, but it's also an ongoing process. Hence the emphasis in these last few weeks of the newness, the new life that we have in Christ. Dear friends, that word obey is made up in the Greek of two words, to hear and to be under here, hupo akuo, to hear under. What does that mean? It means how we hear, the attitude with which we hear will determine our obedience. As we choose to submit under what we're hearing, it becomes a living, active faith which produces obedience. You cannot obey what you haven't heard. But also, you can hear the word, but if there's in your heart a refusal to obey it, then faith is not produced. In 1 Thessalonians, for example, 1 Thessalonians and chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, so this is what he's saying to the Romans, isn't it, that you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. He's also saying it here, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Let the word of God do its work. It effectually works in those who believe. Hebrews 4 and verse 2 says again the same thing. Let's establish it. Hebrews 4 and verse 2. Indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed or united with faith in those who heard it. As that living, active faith is united with what we hear, as we choose to believe, as this is what we want to submit to, it begins to work effectively within us. And no matter what we experience from that point on, our life begins to change. God will his work within us. Praise God. That work continues. We go through our trials, we may fall down, but as we continue, eventually that word, that seed, Peter calls it the imperishable seed, it cannot help but produce life. It produces the life of Christ within our hearts. We begin to bear fruit because of the life that is within us, not because of our striving, not because of our efforts. Certainly not because of being condemned, but as we continue to believe, God's word will produce that fruit and the result to which he sent it. And that's good news. All we have to do then, our responsibility is to put ourselves physically, in other words, come to the meetings, but also spiritually in that position whereby we receive God's word into our hearts. And that's the parable of the sower. As we allow the Lord, as we acknowledge through what we go through, that hardness of heart, the stones, the rocks, and the weeds, the thistles and the thorns that choke the word, you know, he explains what that is, the hardness of heart, the cares, the worries, the anxiety, lusts of other things entering in. As we acknowledge that before God and give him our hearts, acknowledge that and seek that deliverance, and acknowledge our need, as he removes those things, and as we cooperate with him, as we meet him halfway with that prayer life, that consecration, and believe for those things to be done in our life, God's word will do its work, will produce that fruit. I know we can see things in our lives that are missing, that aren't there, but that fruit will be there as we understand by revelation, allow the Holy Spirit to show us what the cross is. And we know what the cross is because we take it up. The cross is what puts us to death. The cross is those things that God allows in our life that get self out of the way. Now, how do you know the cross has done its work? We've said it many, many times. Dead people do not react against what has been done to them. If you truly love that person as God loves you, that forgiveness will be there. Love, when it says think no evil, it doesn't account, it doesn't impute the wrong done to it. It doesn't keep score of the things that have been done wrong to it. It just forgives. We'll do it, Lord willing, maybe another teaching just on love. Because when you look at all that love is, you'll see that this is all that we're talking about. That newness of life, Christ's love being perfected in us, that automatically forgives. Now, God's holiness will automatically judge sin. God's holiness will, but his love, he presented, he provided the opportunity, he provided the means by which he could forgive. So yes, he'll deal with sin, but a sin done personally wrong, God's love will seek the way for reconciliation, will seek forgiveness. Whatever he has to do in his holiness to deal with sin, it's always about redemption, reconciliation, forgiveness. Now, love will always believe. Love believes all things. Are you having trouble believing some of the things? It's amazing, isn't it, that as soon as I start talking about healing or these things, the hurts that that can cause in the body of Christ, because of fear, because of unbelief. As soon as we start getting really deep into a person's heart, the fear that manifests. And yet we're told that love believes all things. So there's our clue, friends. We've all got areas where we're struggling to believe in a thing. Friends, don't try to believe it. Oh, stop trying to believe. Let God's holy word get a hold of your heart. Love the Lord. Love God. Love his word. And you will find yourself believing. You'll find yourself trusting. You'll find yourself embracing things that you thought were such a problem just a moment ago. Love is the key. Love, faith works by love. And yes, love by faith. You can't separate them. And when we understand that, we're going to stop striving. This hasn't happened. This is wrong. I did this and the devil's on my back. Oh, friends. Love, faith, the fruit of the Spirit is the result of a deliverance that has come by the work of the cross. Glory to God. Truth, the first time you hear truth, it's in the head, you hear it. But the Spirit takes what we've just heard, because he's the Spirit of truth, and he's just given us that revelation, the word of truth, and he begins to work that in our hearts, in our lives, through the trials that we go through. Jesus said, he didn't just say the truth will set you free, he said you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If the Son, and he goes further, if the Son will make you free, you shall be free indeed. He is the truth. It's personal. It's not just philosophical, not just theological, personal. He's the truth. He will set you free. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He will perfect that faith within us, that godly character, that new life. As we let him live his life, we will begin to experience. Let him put our lives back together in the order that suits him. The whole point about being the slave of righteousness, the whole point about believing and obeying from the heart, that form of doctrine to which was delivered to us, is letting him live his life in us and through us. We've heard that many, many times, but what I'm saying is, those areas that so either depress us or interfere with us or bring us down or assail us, as we step back and ask the Lord the simple question, Lord, you're God of the universe, you're Lord of the universe, you're the creator, you're the redeemer of those that you've redeemed, of the elect. Lord, what is important in my life? I'm busy about many things. I've got a lot of things that are going on in my mind and in my life. a lot of things that I want healing or deliverance from. But Father, what is important to you? What is the order in which you want to deal with it? I want healing from head to toe. I want my life, because it's a mess at the moment, I want it fixed from A to Z. But Lord, what are you now dealing with? What are you dealing with today? What is the order in which you want to perfect? Because, dear friends, he's the one doing the building. He's the one doing the restoring. And so we have to let him show us the order in which he wants to deal with us today. And he will. He'll show that area of the heart, and it's very practical. It's 9 times out of 10, it's the thing that's troubling you the most. Praise God. What is your greatest need? If we can answer that question, then 9 times out of 10, that's the thing the Lord wants to deal with. Now, don't lock into what you think is your problem, because at the end of the day, deeper than that, he is dealing with our faith. But there's something we need. So let's wait on God. Let's allow him, the ever-capable, the infinitely compassionate, healer, deliverer, redeemer, let him save us. Let him do that work. Let's look to God's love, grace, and mercy, and let each one of us be the reflection of that love, grace, and mercy. We can spend all our times finger-pointing and criticising and looking at one another's faults, but remember what Jesus said. You're seeing a speck in your brother's eye, but you're not seeing the plank, the trunk or whatever it is, the beam that is in your own eye. How can you see clearly? And if you think about what that means, what it means is, now Jesus didn't say that's how it's always going to be. He said, first, remove the plank, remove the beam, then you will see clearly. What that means is, Jesus is making us effective in the kingdom. Our effectiveness, our righteousness in our relationships, our ability to minister one to another in righteousness, he's doing that. But it's going to take humility. Not looking inward, but acknowledging that we have a greater need. And so if we see a need manifesting, a need of deliverance, I mean, don't react to it, or against it, or try and heal it, or sort it out, or make it better. It is what it is. And as we seek that forgiveness, as we seek God's love in that, as we see Jesus behind that, that sin will be dealt with. That spirit, that whatever it is, that issue will be dealt with in God's time. It isn't compromise, it isn't being indifferent to that, but as we handle it as Jesus would have handled it, then we're going to see some breakthroughs, not only in our life, but in the body of Christ. We deal with this, dear friends, how? We love one another as we would have them love us. In other words, when we see these things manifest, put yourself in that position. How would you want a brother or sister to treat you if that was you manifesting that? And that's what it is, to love each other as we love ourselves. And you'll find that God will give the grace, he'll give the discernment. Philippians 1:9-11 says, let your love abound in your discernment, in acknowledging the things that are excellent. He's praying that the love would abound. We all think we've got discernment, but dear friends, the new nature is all about love. That new nature is all about love, and that love will have a practical outworking. So don't worry about who isn't doing, who's doing this and who isn't doing that. When you and I, when each one of us works out our own salvation in fear and trembling, let us be the one that shows love. Isn't it happening? No? Okay. Well, you be the one. Show us how. You can lecture or you can show us how. And that applies to me. Of course it does. Double portion. So we're all in this together. If we believe that God has touched our heart and we are an example of love, then let that be. Let that love express itself, praise God. We all need teaching in that area. We all need to be shown. Just because a man preaches it, yeah, he should be that example. I'm into that. You know, but what I'm saying is, just because I'm preaching it doesn't mean I know everything. Doesn't mean I know anything. It is what the Lord gives me at the time. We can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. So praise the Lord. And this is where we're going from doctrine to life. When each one of us is that living example, that's when we know, that's when the fruit is being born. That's how we know the cross is at work. And so let's go back to Romans 6. Now, friends, again, having heard that, having said these things, what do we do if the opposite manifests? Well, let's have a look at this. Verse 17. God be thanked that though you were the slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, or to which you were delivered. So, praise God, the word has begun its work. Now here we have verse 18, having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Here again is where faith is going to make all the difference. We have been told here we have been set free from sin. Doesn't matter what we experience on a daily basis, the truth is that you and I have been set free from sin. We are now slaves to the righteousness of Christ that dwells within us. It's that new life. And as we continue to look to that, as we continue to believe it, no matter what, we will experience it. We will eventually experience it. We will, if we're not already, bear the fruit of it. And we are. Because one question I have to ask is, if we think, you know, well, there's so much more that needs doing, we need more of this, we need... What are we actually looking at? What are we looking for? What are we actually basing our evaluation of ourselves and one another on? Why don't we just relax and look at what God says about us? Not about what the devil thinks, not about what the brain logically sees or doesn't see or is missing. Dear friends, we can be our own worst enemy. The Christian army is the only army that kills off its own wounded. What are we actually looking for? What do we actually want from ourselves and from the Lord and from one another? Dear friends, if we will just get back to that childlike, that simple faith of loving the Lord, of experiencing the Father's love, it will all come from that. I know this probably might offend some. Well, I thought we were beyond that theologically. I thought we were going to have something deep tonight. I thought we were going to have some deep revelation. Friends, I challenge you to go deeper than the Father's love. I don't think there is anything. Because according to Jesus, perfection is manifested from the Father's love. He gave an example of the Father's love who causes the sun and the rain for the just as well as the unjust, for the good and the evil, for the grateful and the unthankful. He said, be you perfect even as my Father in heaven is perfect. And that was in the context of his love. It's as deep as we'll ever get. It's the Father's love. The Father's love disposed him to give his Son to us. It's the ultimate. And when we're getting that right, other things will fall into place. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. God is not asking us to do something we can't do. Just as we gave ourselves over in the past to idols and to sin and to uncleanness. So now we give ourselves over to love and holiness, to purity, to the Word of God, to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus himself. We are united with Christ. He's joined his spirit to our spirit. We are one spirit with the Lord. And so fruit has to manifest. Fruit is manifesting. For when we were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. And so he asks the question, what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. So, you know, what was good about it? What were we so proud about? Those things that we're now ashamed of. Praise God. But here's the good news. We've now been set free from sin, having become slaves of God. You have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Praise God. We have a great reward waiting for us in heaven. The fruit that is going to work to holiness. And the end, everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We not only have eternal life, but we have all those other temporal and eternal blessings that go with being united with Christ. Praise God. And my concern is, dear friends, that the enemy will attack some of us and will immediately start trying to respond by striving, by trying to be something we're not, trying to move ahead of our present level of anointing. But dear friends, as now, when the enemy attacks, as we turn to the Lord, as we begin to allow the life that is in Christ to rise up, not give in, it's a question of attitude. The choice we make is what will determine at that point, the trial, when the enemy attacks, whether or not we bear the fruit of the Spirit or whether some fleshly thing. We're waiting for the fruit of the Spirit to manifest. The fruit of the Spirit will manifest in time as I let the cross... Hang on a minute. Because the Holy Spirit dwells within now, the fruit of the Spirit, as well as the gifts, are now available. It's simply a question of choosing which one we want to have born within us. As we choose to yield our lives over to the Holy Spirit, he will produce the fruit within us. He will produce that fruit. It's not something we strive to do. It's on the basis we just believe, because he is within us, greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. Whatever we go through, turn it over to him. Turn it over to him. It's because we're still trying to walk this walk with our own understanding, our own strength, and we're trying to give vent to our feelings because of what we're going through. Friends, it's always ever been a simplicity of faith that as we choose to believe God, as we yield, he will provide. He will supply that faith in that time of trial. He will supply that joy, which is the joy of the Lord, which is your strength in a time of trial. You say to me, well, my trial is such that you don't understand my mind, I'm under an attack and I can't praise the Lord. Well, that's a lie of the enemy. No child of God can ever say that they can't praise the Lord. Because why? Because he dwells within them, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. No, not our own strength, the joy of the Lord. So as we choose, Lord, the joy of the Lord, it'll spring, those everlasting springs will come from within, and you'll start praising the Lord, and the devil will flee. You don't have to do a lot of rebuking. He won't stay around when we're praising the Lord. Oh, I go through this trial again and again, and I'm struggling with the faith. I'm struggling with believing. I don't know what it is always to trust the Lord. Remember, faith is a fruit of the Spirit. It's got nothing to do with how you feel. Be like, I think of his name in him, Habakkuk. It all failed. Everything failed. Everything failed. What did he choose to do? Yet I will rejoice. Yet I will rejoice in my God. I will joy in the God of my salvation. A man of faith. I just choose to believe. I just choose to believe. Father, you know I'm going through a trial at the moment, completely beyond me. But it's not beyond you. Whatever you're saying now, Lord, I'm just resting in your love today. Are we facing an impossible situation? One that just bewilders us? I thought I'd got over it. I thought that here we go again. We have a promise that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. Friends, all we have to do, the only condition, as it were, to meet, the only condition in that promise is to love God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And to know that we're the called. So how do we know that we are the elect? How do we know we're called? Because by this very thing, by that very faith, by the very fact that we're here seeking God, desiring these things, believing these things, loving the Lord, that is making our calling and election sure. Peter said, if we turn there, we're going to finish it, do that next week. I'll just introduce it this week, so there won't be the time. But in the very context of this most important thing, making our calling and election sure, what did Peter say we should be doing? Striving? Working? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, he says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. It's in the context of bearing fruit. So he's saying, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So these things are being added to our faith. So you say, well, there you go, we've got to be diligent. Well, what's wrong with that? Your diligence about your hobby, your diligence about your Facebook page and about your favourite TV soap and about your diligence about all the things that suit you. Praise the Lord. But when it comes to eternal life, whatever. Don't want to be legalistic, do we? Friends, diligent is simply you are spending time with the one you love. You're spending time opening your heart to the only one who can make your heart like his. Praise God. Diligent prayer life, it's discipline. It's putting forth that effort. But you see, you're investing in eternal life. You're meeting God halfway. Put the whole revelation together. There's nothing we can do about our situation in our own strength. But Jesus came, went to the cross, and the Holy Spirit is now indwelling us. God has done everything that we couldn't do. He's now set the ball in motion for our redemption. So it's never ever had anything to do with our own strength. He's taken all that out of our hands and he's now put it in his own hands. He's made an eternal covenant in Christ with us to save us. And our diligence is simply learning the terms of that covenant, presenting ourselves to him each day, and all this diligence is not my will today, but yours. Lord Jesus, it's your will. I'm here today at your feet. Lord Jesus, today is your day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Diligence is overcoming. It's not giving in to the enemy so easily. It's not giving in to the flesh so easily. Do you know at what point in the day you are your most tired? Have you ever analysed that? It's just before you get into prayer. The enemy comes along and you just, I've just had a busy day, I've got to fall asleep. You determine, right, praise God, I've come home from work, I'm going to spend an hour, half an hour, 10 minutes, but I'm going to spend time in the Word. I really need to just meditate on those wonderful promises. And that's when you get tired, that's when the phone rings, that's when you realise you've still got a mountain of washing up to do. All those things that the enemy puts in our minds when we want to seek the Lord, when we want to... And that's the diligence. That's when we're going to need that vigilance, that diligence. No, I'm not going to give in to that. And at that point, when we make that choice, I'm not going to give in to that. Thank you, Jesus. We lift our hands, we praise, we spend that time in prayer. We give our life to Him at that point. That's what Peter is saying. Just take that step. Just refuse to give in to the flesh so easily and spend that time with the Lord, that prayer life. I'm truly blessed because I work out in the fresh air in the garden and there's nobody there. I haven't got a phone to answer. I haven't got to talk to people. I'm just praying in the Spirit all the time, just communing with God, praying in the tongues, praying in the Spirit. And blessed, you know, at home, I come home. If I want to eat, I eat. If not, I'm just there. And that time is set before me. Praise the Lord. Now I'm learning. I don't always get it right. But the point is, the choice I make is what I want to do. And that's the diligence. It's not an academic exercise. It's simply that I choose this moment to do what the Spirit is saying and not what the flesh is saying. The flesh wants me to go to sleep. The flesh wants me to do something else. But my spirit is hungering after God. My spirit wants to feed on that, on those promises. And that's what we sow to. That's what we yield to. And as we do that, if we do that today, we sow what we're gonna reap next week. We're going to reap that anointing to overcome. The mind will say, oh, here we go again, prayer, same old prayer, pressing in for this, pressing in for that. Friends, what we sow, we will reap. As we stay with it, it's going to go beyond, like, interesting or exciting or fulfilling. Supernatural, we will enter into that supernatural. We are birthing through the greater works. That latter rain anointing. We're birthing through our healing and deliverance ministries. We're birthing through that anointing, that presence of God to overcome what at the moment seems impossible. This is a time of preparation. Thank God we're not so filled and busy, we're running about here, there and everywhere like so many ministries are. These are the ideal circumstances, the ideal means by which God is preparing that end time army. As we yield, as we allow the Spirit to do that work within us. Praise God. Stay with it, friends, because the very each day is not just simply the word, the parable of a sower. That's not the only seed. Every act of obedience, every step of faith is a seed that will eventually bear fruit. And you're going to reap the eternal rewards for that. It's a fruit that will last for eternity. Next week, as a result of what we're doing today, next week, next month, next year, we will reap the benefits of that. Praise God. Praise God. And so there's the fruitfulness. There's the new life in Christ. I want to spend some more time next week, God willing, looking at more the fruit of the new life. But let's just remind ourselves in closing, Ephesians 4, verse 24, that we put on the new man, created in according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The new creation that we are in Christ is according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That is our nature. That is our confession. That whatever we go through, I'm still a new creation in Christ. I was created anew in righteousness and true holiness. And anything else is a lie. And as we stand firm in that, we will begin to bear the fruit of it. So, praise God. Praise God. I know that wasn't anything technical or profound or theological, and I'm pretty certain that none of it was new. But I just believe that that's what the Spirit put on my heart today, to encourage and to work deliverance and to take the striving out of this walk. Just to allow the new nature to have its course in our life. Let Jesus take over. Let him live his life in us and through us. And no longer look at, oh, I've got to pray or I've got to study. Spend time with the one you love. Spend time with the one who loves you supremely. Spend that time opening up to the one who wants to just completely take over, set you free from the things that are afflicting you. Praise God. Something to think about, isn't it? Well, God bless you, brethren. Thank you for your attention, for your time. And I trust that you'll receive that. Open your hearts to God's word. And we will see, we will rejoice with one another when we see the fruit of it in time to come. God bless you, brethren. So we're here for a prayer request. Caroline has a prayer request. What is it? What can we do? Okay, prayer for husband. Is he a believer? Yes, praise God. Amen. It doesn't belong. He's a child of God, and that thing does not belong to him. Let's unite our faith, praise God, and let's pray in the Spirit for our brother Dave and rebuke that lie in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Join with me, please, brethren, in prayer and spirit for our brother Dave. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I just speak against that infirmity. Satan, you're a liar in the name of Jesus. And I command that fever now to leave my brother Dave in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your promise, for your provision at Calvary. Thank you, Lord. Your word declares that by Jesus' stripes we are healed. I thank you, Lord, for my brother, for his faith, and that he is now beginning to appropriate that healing and that deliverance in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We agree in the name of Jesus that spirit is bound in the name of Jesus. And we loose now that healing and that deliverance upon him now in Jesus' name. Praise the living God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Does anyone else? Is there anyone else that needs a touch from the Lord? Jesus is here. Praise the Lord. Anyone else have a need? Thank you, Lord. Okay. Well, praise God. Praise God. God bless you all. It's been a real privilege fellowshipping with you around His Word and experiencing, well, praise God, the fellowship, the love of the saints. And we'll speak to you, God willing, next time. I believe, well, Sunday's still on, isn't it? So, yeah, there's the meeting next Sunday, 10:30 a.m. UK time. And the same again next Tuesday, praise God, 7:30 UK time. God bless you all, and continue to walk with the Lord. As we continue to open our hearts each day, praise God, He will conform us more and more each day to His image. Let that new life express itself. God bless you, brethren. Mm-hmm.